The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
And that's what the Lord said we should do, and I'll start teaching. Hey, Amanana, I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. Kumalata.
In darkest night.
You know the song.
You are close like a water.
Ayaya.
I thought you were the father.
Oops.
I thought you were the friend.
I am weak.
I am weak. Ain't no good matter for.
I love your. Let me just sing.
I love your boy.
Sing from the street all over there. Let's sing it. In darkest night. You are close.
You are close.
I know you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived. Hi. Let your voice rise now. I love your voice. In darkest night. You are close,
you are close.
I've known you as a father.
I've known you as a friend.
I have been. I thought that the spirit of comfort in the house this evening. And discouragements are gone. Now bring it down. Let me say what the Lord said I should say. Please listen to me. God is still working. Are you getting what I'm saying? And this is but an encouragement and a warning. God is working. You see, these are not the days to write anybody off. Leaders, listen to me. People will not always be right. You can complain about them, pray for them, but don't write anybody off. God is still working. Let me tell you what I've observed about this ministry team. If you've been here for like 10 years, some people you say will never be it, eventually become it. Some people you say, surely this is the Lord's anointed, never become it. 2 years down the line, you can't find them. Some people you laugh at in your centers today and you sneer at them, they're the ones that will finally pick up. They might have their struggles and their issues today. They might be the worst dressers. They come with short skirts and open bodies. Then we correct them and we teach, but never write them off. They might be the most bitter people around. But you know, there is such a thing as spiritual surgery, where God can cut through someone's heart and remove something that was there, and you can't find anything again. Give people time. Be patient. When I see what many people here have become, I know days when some of you could not handle the mic. But today you are where you are today. Give people time. Give people time. God is still in a process. He's working out something. You see this ministry thing, as for people getting there, never say never. Sometimes it is the Davids who don't look it that eventually become king. And the Eliabs who look it don't ever get there. Don't ever write anybody off. How can I say to you, don't write yourself off. God is still working with you. I know your struggles, or maybe I don't know, but God knows. Don't write yourself off. God is still bringing out something from you. One day, trust me, you'll be in the nations preaching Jesus. One day, water will come from the rock. One day, dry lands will become forests. One day, deserts will be turned to forests. It's a matter of time. And inconsistency, don't write yourself off. You pray for the sick yesterday, it didn't work. Don't write yourself off. You are still a healer. The Lord said, I should say that everything God I ever told you, they are still valid. The pictures I showed you are valid. I know you slacked back at a time, but this is the time to get up and to wake up. God is not done with you yet. And beloved, if God is not done with you, don't you dare get done with yourself. Let me say something to you. People predicted Pastor Henry's fall, not for his stopping. Some of them said that not because God told them anything, but they've checked, this guy is not looking like it. But you see, if you don't stop, God will not stop. If you keep moving, God will keep moving. Say anything you want to say. The only promise I'm making to you is that if you come back here after 50 years, I will still be here. Because God is, until God says he's done with me. The Bible said, who are you to judge another man's servant? How dare you pass judgment on God's people? Give them time. They will grow. They will come around. I know a woman who made a mistake and missed it in her marriage. Her name, Catherine Kuhlman, missed it in her marriage. For 7 to 8 years, was out of the pulpit. Divorced. Shattered and battered. But she was not done because God was not done. She still moved on to move and shake the world. God still has the agenda for you. I know the few mistakes, or maybe I don't know. But God knows, and he's saying, I am not done with you. So my ministers asked me, how come no matter what people do, you still speak well of them and speak good things about them? Now, I'm not trying to pretend. I'm not trying to act like I'm the best walking in love specialist. I'm just saying, I know that God is not done with people. I've been here some, for not long enough, but I've been here for a few years. And I tell you sincerely, I have seen people who make mistakes and you say, this one will never be it. But they go through the process and they come up. That brother in 1 Corinthians 5, you remember him? Who was having an affair with his father's wife. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, call that brother back. Restore the person. Because God is not done with him yet. We may discipline, we may shout, whatever we do, but please don't get done with people. God is still working. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. There are some of you that remember some days or years when you stepped back in your walk with God. But you see, somehow you are finding your feet again. Because God is not done with you. I know we sent you to do a work, to start a cell, to plant a church or do whatever. And it looks like you failed woefully at it. It's okay. The church you cannot start today, you start in 5 years' time. Are you what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? The cell you can't handle today, you can handle in 3 years' time. It's a matter of time. That's why when people fail in the field, we don't destroy them. We call them back, retrain them, send them again. Because God is not done with them. Are you what I'm talking about, friends? God is not done. So this generation must learn not to crucify her soldiers. I get to the point. Because a soldier may get one or two bullets, but if he's still alive, fear him. Fear him. He might be shot one or two times. He might be limping, but if he's still alive, be afraid of him. Until he drops dead, then you know you have won. But if he's still walking up and down, be afraid of him. And we are not stopping now. You know the good thing about this? Time is on our side. If it was 100 meter dash, you'll be so scared that if you miss it before you recover, others have gotten there. But it's a marathon. It's a race that will last for years. Now, you are young. If you make mistake, don't beat yourself up. Get off from there. Go again. Very soon, it will be clear. Are you got what I'm saying? It will be clear. Some of you are struggling with your finances at this point in your life, and things are not working. And you've been doing this faith thing. I cannot be poor. But poverty is ravaging you. That's no problem. Stay on the word of God. If it has not failed others, it won't fail you. One day, it will be your testimony that will inspire others. Like what I'm saying. We are not wasting time. Every promise we've seen in God's word, give us some time. It will be plenty. Are you following what I'm saying? Lift your hands. Say one thing, just Lord, I'm still here. I'm not giving up on you. I'm not stopping yet. I'm still here. I'm not stopping yet. The greatest secret of Pastor Henry, if you want to know, is that he never stops. That's the secret. You might say, that guy is not perfect. I don't stop. I keep moving. I know what I'm talking about. The problem is that you stop. When you feel you are imperfect, you stop. When I feel I'm imperfect, I keep moving. If the most perfect God thinks he can use an imperfect me, then I keep moving. Now it's you that is complaining. I get to the point. I know the more we work with him, the better he makes us. So keep on moving. It's getting better. Did you receive that? The spirit of comfort in the house. Glory to God. Have your seat. Let me say a few things. So you guys, don't go too far. Okay? Don't go too far. Have you been getting blessed this evening? Have you been getting blessed? Talk to me now. Have you been getting blessed? So that was a powerful ministration, you know, from my wife this evening. Why are you blessed? This lady is anointed. Amen. Glory to God. I say hallelujah. And some of the things she said, I'm going to repeat them when I get there. Because there were very powerful stops I heard this evening. Glory to God. You know, I'll say some things, but not now. Amen. So, tonight I'll just go as God leads me. But what is leading me to do now is to continue teaching what I was teaching in the day. Is that okay? That I thought came to release fire. God led me. Let me say this to you. It doesn't always have to be spectacular to be supernatural. I went to a meeting one of those days. I was not a preacher, a man of God, a great man of God. As well, that was Reverend Tukumba Adejuwon of Rema, Nigeria. I was invited. You know, and I got there. It was supposed to be a Holy Ghost meeting. And this man just came up and taught and preached and gave one or two words of knowledge and left. It was my pastor's church. You know, and my dad came up and said, are you blessed by that powerful Holy Ghost meeting? Because the thing about it is, it doesn't always have to be crazy. Now, this man is, when he talk about Holy Ghost meeting, nobody matches Reverend Tokes, at least in my own books. I get the point. But he just came there. Because the thing is, when you begin to force what God did not send you to do, I get what I'm talking about. Once we get to the Holy Ghost meeting, we must do this, we must shout, we must say, give what? No. There's nothing like we must. We say what he wants us to say. Holy Ghost meeting, it is where God is leading and directing. So if he's leading and directing, I say we should teach, I'll just teach. So remember in the day, Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, I was showing us to contend for the faith. Holy Ghost. To contend for the faith. And I told you in the day, in the morning, that it's not just faith now, not just the teachings and the doctrines of the apostles, must also contend for the traditions. Remember I said that? 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 6, it said, people that are not following the traditions they receive from us, he said you must stay away from them. So there is not just a doctrine and a teaching we got from the apostles, there's also tradition, a culture we got from them. And I was showing you in the day. So the church is not just somewhere you can do just anything you want. That's the way the apostles did it, you must do it that same way. Because Ephesians 2 tells us, verse 20, that this is our faith, we are founded upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So you see, Christianity is not, a friend of mine put something online, and I liked it. A Christian is not a free thinker. Do you have free thinkers in the house? Do you know who a free thinker is? Huh? Do you know what it means? What does it mean? If you know, you say it. Crisis. Huh? Is it? Someone that's mad. No. Free thinkers are just people that, you know, their mind is open to. They have an open mind. Yeah. But a Christian cannot be like that. You can't have an open mind. Your thoughts and your logic, your arguments must come from the written word. Because it is being a free thinker that leads you close to being an atheist. because they reason every matter. You can't be like that. The written word should be everything that, you know, directs what you think. So people say to me, let's think, let's see it from another angle. The only angle I know is the word of God. So a pastor now cannot be a free thinker. You can't say, I'm coming up with new strategies. Now, there can be new strategies that God will direct you to come up with, but make sure they are in agreement with the apostolic tradition. If it is not, you are practicing another faith that is not Christianity. Are you still here? And so, excuse me. And so, there are things we learn from them. Let me say a few things. Acts chapter 2, go, they were looking at it early in the morning, verse 41. So, of course, 3,000 guys were saved in verse 42. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. As I showed you, one of the things you learned from these guys was that they continued with apostles' teaching. They continued with prayer. Verse 43, you know, verse 40, the distance and wonders, I'm coming to that. Verse 44, they said they had all things in common. Verse 45, of course, they sold their, I was talking about giving in the morning. Remember that? Giving and sacrifice. They sold their things. These are apostolic traditions. It can never spoil. These are the things we keep doing until Jesus comes. Verse 46. They continued how many times? Daily. So, a part of our apostolic tradition is that they kept meeting every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Another thing about apostolic tradition is this. They were very orderly. In the apostolic culture, we find order. Please, I want to hear what I'm going to say tonight. Because this is part of that contending for the faith. This is part of those things that people don't like saying in our generation because it will cause trouble. And I'll say this tonight. There is order. If you study the Acts of the Apostles, you will see a very orderly system. Do you know? No, yesterday I was studying, and the Lord said, did you observe something? Read verse, read chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 34. Acts 4, 34. Let's look at everybody. Come on now. Do you have a voice? Let's read together. So you see the order to their giving. So even in their giving, now these guys were not necessarily giving to the church, they were giving to the saints. But even in their giving to the saints, they still didn't carry the thing to give to the people that had the need. There was still a structure. I got what I'm showing you. They still had to sell the things, bring them to the apostles. The apostles said, why can't I just give it? Is it the apostle that must give it? That's why I thought the apostolic church was very orderly. They were not a church where you can just do anything you want. As the Spirit leads. Of course, the Spirit leads them, but the Spirit never led them out of order. That's why Paul, after teaching the things of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14, he told them in verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Because when the Spirit of God is leading, directing, and moving, he leads you towards order. So, many people don't like churches where there is too much order. But that's actually the apostolic structure. Any pastor that creates a system where anything goes, for real, anything will start going there. And very soon, even the devil will be going there. Because the devil doesn't say anything. Demons will be having a free day. I get what I'm saying. One day the Lord told me very early in my ministry, because when I started church, you know, there was no evangelism there. I used to say this all the time. There was no evangelism there. I'll just finish preaching on evangelism and I'll say, make sure you reach out. Make sure you reach out. And I just kind of believe that people are going to reach out. And the Lord told me one day, anything you don't create structure for in the local church will not happen. Because that is order. I get what I'm saying. They were not, even their giving was orderly. Their giving was orderly. I showed you yesterday in Acts 13 from verse 1. Paul and Barnabas did not just stand up. Do you know that from the beginning of Paul's salvation, it has already said that he will preach the gospel? And that's already new. And he will go to the Gentiles. I get the point. Should I show you that in the Bible? Acts 26. Oh. Ekorata labashakto yaka.
This is only my notes, but. Acts 26, verse, let's say 17. Let's see. Go back. This was when Paul was analyzing and telling, was that Festus or Agrippa, of his encounter on the way to Damascus. It was Paul's own account. Acts 9 tells us what happened there, but Paul is not narrating the story. See verse 15, so that you see. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. You get the point? So he already knew, that was the experience. Now verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet. Jesus was talking to him. You notice in Acts 9, all these details do not appear. I got what I'm saying. But Paul was sharing his story. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Verse 17. Watch, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee. So from the beginning of his salvation, God already told him that he will send him to the Gentiles. Are you following what I'm talking about at all? He knew from the time he got saved. Yet, Paul waited till Acts 13, which was way above 10 years from Acts 9. Before the Spirit now said in the Christian meeting, separate from me, Paul and Barnabas, before they went to the Gentiles. Why? The church they had was an orderly church. You can't just stand up and do anything. So even when you hear from God, they confirm. So it's possible, now this is my guess, it's not in the Bible. It's possible that Paul had once mentioned this vision to those guys, those elders in the church. That go to now, go to the Gentiles. So. And they said, fine. Then this is the one I'm praying. Somebody now said, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work we're on to have. Because everybody knew there was a work they've been called to. Those elders knew. But it was at their confirmation that Paul and Barnabas went. I feel I'm talking about. That's why the apostolic church is very orderly. I can take you to the Hope Cup as you will see this system. By the time they went into the field and began to preach, I had doctrinal issue. What did they do? They went back to the apostles to go and confirm what they were teaching. The apostles had to, as Paul was talking within the Gentiles, with the whole miracles he was doing, he went back to the apostles. The apostles had to give him a letter that they took from church to church where they have planted, reading those letters to the Gentiles. So, Paul wasn't a man who had no order. And so, if I'm studying this apostolic system I'm showing you, this faith we're trying to contend for, you must know that it's the way things are done. People who can't survive in the system of the local church are people who don't like order. Who don't like, you can't tell us what to do, you just want to do our own thing, as the Spirit leads. When you say as the Spirit leads, it's actually very interesting. Are you trying to imply that there's a different Holy Spirit you have from all of us? Is that what I'm implying? They had a very orderly system. And that's why you notice, when we read the book of Jude yesterday, one of the things Jude warned about was Korah. Do you remember that? The gainsaying of Korah. The rebellion of Korah. Who was Korah? These guys did not want anything to be done orderly. When people begin to despise leadership, despise authority, despise order, you see, you're not contending for the faith. That's not the faith we received. That's not the pattern with it. That's not the method. That's not the thing we got from the apostles. And it will not be long. It will last very well in the will of God. And very soon you start serving your own will. Are you following me? You know, in church like this, there are pastors here, ministers here that are leaders, that are women. And I have noticed some men have a problem with following women. And if you're that kind of man, may God heal you. Because you need to be healed. And whenever I find such men, I don't take it easy on them. You know, yesterday, when we were trying to run around for this meeting yesterday, before the meeting, just driving, and there was somewhere I didn't know they had, you know, done a barricade there and all of that. So I got there and said, oh, you beat traffic. And I said, okay. And I was talking with these traffic guys. I was trying to explain to them, we didn't see the sign you guys put here. And my wife too was trying to talk. Talking to them, and this man was angry. And I looked at me. I said, how can you be here and your wife is talking?
You know, there are people that are sick from home. So I ignored it at first. He man said, "Don't mind." He was telling his wife, "Don't mind this man. He is here. His wife is overshadowing him." And at that point, I said, "If you don't want this matter to leave, what you're talking about, never you talk about my wife. Never you point. Never you talk to my wife, unless we leave this matter. And I can forget the program I'm going for now, and we'll finish it here." I wanted to show him. It's not everybody. You have a problem with women. Go do it with your wife and your kids at home. People just have a problem. You know, his anger that my wife was talking. Why should a woman be talking to him? Commander of the universe. Creator of the universe. No. People just have that problem. There are people in church that get angry. They are not angry at the instruction. They are angry that the instruction came from a woman. Because if I come to them and give the same instruction, they will do it. That's nonsense. And you better get cured of your madness, even though you cannot last in the will of God. So I was telling my wife who came out, I'm pitying the man's wife and children. That man's wife will not be talking. I know that I was late for the meeting. I wanted to tell him, may God deliver your wife. So the real matter will start. People are just like that. So you know why I changed it for him was I wanted him to know everybody is not like you. And this same person, maybe in his workplace, a woman may be his boss. And it's not even as though, you know, there are places where women can begin to overreact and begin to shout. She wasn't overreacting. My wife rarely overreacts. Really shout. So I'm just talking. No, sir, we didn't see the same. He said, "I'm not talking to you." So when there's already a system installed in their head, that this one is a woman. With all your masculinity, you don't have up to 5,000 in your account. So what's all those are carrying up and down? And hey, there are women that have money. Oh. Do you know? There are women that have money. Go to most ministries, the biggest givers are women. Newsflash, even in Jesus' ministry. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Even his ministry was women. So you have muscle, but you don't have money. Calm down. You must love order. Love order. If a woman is your team lead, it's okay. When she gives instruction, you follow it because this disorder that has swept into the church, not from the world to the church, is there. You know, the world is a, if you want to know how disorderly the world is, check Facebook. On Facebook, all of us are Gen Z. You dare not tell us what to do. We talk to anybody. You know, I see people's comments on people's walls. You know, you may like our president, you may not like our president, but don't be stupid. People go to President Tinubu's wall and comment. You're a mad person. You are this. Don't tell people mad. Who raised you and who failed you? What you don't know is that Nigeria is not actually as loose as you think Nigeria is. They can find you to your bedroom. I said to your bedroom, inside your house. The point is that you are commenting that they know where you are at the moment. Say, you have failed. People you cannot talk to if you see face to face. And now let me talk about this. You know, Democracy Day, President Tinubu fell down. You see, this is what I wanted to get. This is nonsense. You don't laugh at such things. Don't have that kind of right. Anybody can fall. See, because your father that fell down like that, you will laugh at him. He says he's a wicked man. Is your father a good man? You and I know how wicked your father is. And yet if he falls and anybody laughs at him, you have a problem with it. If you don't like a leader, it's your business not to like him. I have my reservations against the current administration, but then that thing was not funny at all. No, there was nothing funny about it. So why are you laughing? Why even cracking joke on Facebook? That somebody fell down. Where you can fall? A man fell in his 70s. You, as young as you are, you've been tripping all over the place falling. Laugh at him all you want. That's your president.
He can shut down light in this country for 24 years and you cannot do anything about it. All their laughter doesn't change anything. And you better pray that President Tinubu, nothing happens to him. Let him have understanding, interpret this things I'm saying. Pray that you will live long and finish his tenure. If you check the administration, you understand what I'm saying, but I won't say more than that. Because what you're looking for, if he finds you, this order, I hate it with everything in me. You don't just speak elected. Now, that's why if you come into this system, church, there are people I keep saying this all the time. Every time I teach on this like this, there are people that are just so disorderly in their mind. Any place tell them to sit, that's why they don't want to sit. And you know, we've been pampering you. One of these days, I'm going to give this, and it's coming very soon. I'll tell the ushers. If there's a new member that doesn't want to sit wherever, we help the person. But if there's someone that has been in church for like 1 year, doesn't want to sit wherever, what came out of the church? Because I don't know what it's one thing that I see it to whatever you're trying to explain. Please, I can't sit here. I want to be here because you know there are things that can happen like that. I want to be close to the window, please. I want to be close to the fan. I want to be close to the AC. Please, this AC is too much. You can talk. But they're trying to say sit here and you just walk straight to wherever. What do you think you are? Who raised you? You know, someone was doing that, I was doing this, that in this church earlier. And I told my ministers, I'm paying attention to him. If he continues that thing, I'm going to walk him out. He has stopped coming. And it's not hard for me. Because I stand there preaching, I see everything. Say, so how do you see it? Because they always come late. People like that always, if you want to choose where you sit, why not come early? Love order. The apostolic church, they were not, now this is simple church. This is church ethics. Now, when we move into ministry and all of that, if you cannot comply with simply order whatever in church, when we get to the big thing, uncle, how will you cope? When the Lord will tell you clearly, I want you to go here, and your leader says, it's not yet time, wait. How will you cope? Now, I just tell you to sit down here, you refuse. Be orderly. And if you cannot follow the order, then leave the place. Tomorrow, all of us are coming on jean and polo. That's the day you wear suit. You think you have sense. No, you don't. Because something is always revolting when there is order. You know what I'm saying? Something is revolting. Once they say this is it, you say, why should they tell us what? Why shouldn't they tell you what to do? Where do you think you came into? So Jude warned against Korah. And let's look at Korah a little. Number 16, verse 1. There are a few things I picked from the life of Korah, from that Korah story. Number 16 from verse 1. You have to be fast with this so that I can touch other things. Let's read together, everybody. Every time the Bible begins to introduce anybody like this, most times that person is a useless person. The son of this, because this guy don't achieve anything. Because you don't know him. The only way we know him is through his father. Are you following me? When it was time for Elijah, there was no father, no mother, and Elijah, the Tishbite, he just appeared. But you see Korah, the son of Isha, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Datan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the sons of Peleth, sons of Reuben. Took men now, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 150 princes of the assemblies, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves against Moses and Aaron. What did they say? You take too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them, wherefore then lift ye up yourself above the congregation of the Lord? The first thing the Lord showed me in this place is this. Like I'm already saying, you must love authority. You must love authority. You must love spiritual authority. You must love, understand, and accept spiritual authority. The problem these guys had was, they didn't understand why should Moses and Aaron have this authority. We didn't vote them in. Because they didn't have a Christian, it's not politics. We didn't vote them in. So you take too much. So as far as they were concerned, it was Moses that decided to lead the people. So he said, you're claiming to be too much. And to think about it, you picked yourself. Guess who you picked to be assistant? You picked your cousin. Family business. You know Aaron is Moses' cousin. And guess who was the chief prophetess? Miriam, Moses' sister. You can't play me. I can see through you. You pick your cousin, you pick your sister. Also, all of us, you follow your... You would have picked your wife too. You know, you must accept spiritual authority. Let me tell you something. And for real, that's why I celebrate Platform of Grace. We are not there yet. But we are not doing badly. Amen? Yeah, here we have high regard for authority. I got married just a few months ago. Okay? And I have not actually declared my wife as anything in this church. Have you observed? I refer to her as my wife. Do you understand? It's very deliberate. But then, one of the reasons that made me know that, okay, teaching is working here. It wasn't hard for many people to just say, well, we accept the authority of this lady. And you know why? You know, for real, let me talk to pastors, if there's any pastor here, ministers and all that. One of the reasons why I feel it was easy for people to keep accepting this, we're going to be our mother, is because, first of all, it's been a culture in this church to pick people from the congregation and make them pastors. I've experienced that since you've been here. Pick people and make them ministers. So you've always seen someone as your friend. Suddenly, some of you knew when Joy was Joy Obolo. Better as Joy Obolo. And then one day she became pastor. Everybody readjusted. That's the order in the local church. And because we've set that order, it was not hard for people to say, okay, it's not pastor's wife, we will readjust and we'll follow. But if it's a church where they always import leaders from outside, and this shows, for instance, I'm praising my church now, we have good home training. Because there are pastors who make sure they don't marry from their churches, because once they do, the people in church will not respect that their wife. So what do? They marry from outside, a woman of God from outside, that the church will respect her. That's why you are teaching people wrongly. If they can't respect, so it means any day you wake up and make anybody in church your assistant, they will also revolt. I get what I'm saying. You must love spiritual authority. Because once God has said, he has said. Once he picks, you know, my dad is doing a teaching recently called the that one can speak English. Sacro Guinea. Sacro. We were talking about God's choice of men. But the point is this. In the story of Korah, you learn that when authority comes, you open your heart to it. You accept the authority. Another thing we see from that story, if we go from verse 4, look at what Moses told them. Because this is very important. Moses heard it. He fell upon his face. And look at what he said. I spoke unto Korah and all his company, saying, even tomorrow, the Lord will show you who are his. So he called them to come out to bring incense, so that the Lord will choose who really he has chosen. Do you know what he's trying to show them? It is God that chooses men, and it's not by their qualification. So he was trying to show them that we were not the ones that chose ourselves. Okay, all of you come out tomorrow. Let the Lord choose who he has chosen. What, you know, the thing that you must learn about spiritual authority, God does, you are not the one choosing. And God's choice must not always make sense to you. It's God's choice. That's what I'm saying. Are you following me? It's God's choice. So God chooses someone to be your team lead. Is that how we sure it's God that chose him? Maybe pastor just liked him. That is eye service. He was deceiving pastor and pastor picked him. Even if it is true, God has chosen him. Are you getting the point? Says, I can't men get it wrong. If men get it wrong, let God correct them. In this, I'm telling you for real. Because God, when, you see, it was not Paul, for instance, that was meant to go to the Gentiles. But then, the people thought it was Paul. Give you an example now.
If he goes there, he will fail. It will not be long. They will see that, man, this is not the right thing. You are not the one that will begin to analyze. Because sometimes those things you analyze that it is not God, it is God, and this is not the one God has chosen, you might actually be wrong. I just told you a few minutes ago. Most times, never say never in this thing, spiritual thing. Some people you look at and say, there will never be anything. When God picks them, he will say, here, 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 and then, and let me tell you a big secret. Many people carry, that's why God's choice is interesting. Many people carry grace and callings that you actually don't know just because you are greeting them. Oh, I wish you can understand what I'm saying. Many people carry grace. Let me give an example. My wife just preached now. Are you blessed? Yes, you are. Now, it wasn't when she became my wife that God spoke to me about her teaching ministry. Yes. God spoke to me about her teaching ministry exactly in the year 2019. The ministers in Enugu may remember this. They may not, it may not mean anything to them. There was a day we had a meeting in Osoka. That is CF meeting or LMP, one of the meeting. And we couldn't, the ministers, we couldn't return back for Thursday service, to Thursday service. I told them to just lead prayer. And she led the prayer. That dim the light called as you are leading the prayer. The Holy Ghost said, that lady has a teaching ministry. That was the day. So what did I do from then? I began to groom her for it. From then, I didn't know she was going to be my wife. I know what I'm talking about. There are many people around you that carry healing callings. You may not know. It's not when the opportunity comes to them, they begin to heal. They say, ah, I didn't know. Don't, you are not the one choosing for God. God knows who He's preparing. I know what I'm talking about. God knows who He's preparing. There are people here and I can tell you for free. I won't tell you, but I'm not telling you openly on stage. I won't tell you individually that the Lord has told me this one will stand mighty in the prophet. I know it like I know my name. And all I just say is, Father, please keep him, keep her. Let her not derail. I will do my book. I've seen it clearly. And tomorrow we just call the person and say, oh, you're now a minister. And then you say, ah, politics, politics, politics. It's because they're fair. It's because they're dark. It's because they're related. It's because they're this. What are all those things? God's choice. So Moses told them, all of you gather, let the Lord Himself choose who He has chosen. Because Moses understood that we didn't choose ourselves. God chose us. And those foolish people gathered. Now that's always the amazing thing in this story. You know God did not choose you. And they said, come, let us choose who God has chosen. And you came out. How are you getting the point? The way of Korah. The rebellion of Korah. And so, order. What else do we see in their story? Verse 9. Because of our time. Verse 9, quickly. NLT. Let's do together like a mass choir from verse 9. Are you ready? Okay. If we get it, say amen. Right, let's go together. So actually, these people were actually ministers. But they were not priests. They were Levites. They were not priests. So Moses is telling them, this one you are. How come is you are not okay with it? See the next verse. Verse 10. Korah has already given you the special ministry to you. This special ministry to you and your fellow Levites. Are you now demanding the priesthood as well? I'm going to say the top thing. Appreciate every opportunity given to you to serve. Count it a privilege. And if I can add a fourth thing, stay in your calling. And know your limits. Korah, they've made you priest or Levite. Why are you still struggling because you did not become a priest? They also wanted to offer sacrifice like Aaron. If all they say is that you should serve as an usher, why are you complaining about it? Because when we talk about start the fire, carrying the fire of God. Carrying the fire of God is not becoming unruly. Being anointed is not becoming mad. Say, carry fire, anything I want to do, I can do. No. Fire has control. You know, fire is a good thing and a bad thing. The one that doesn't have control will cause trouble. If it has control, it's our advantage. I get what I'm saying. If you use fire for good things and bad things. When fire has control, control it within, in between three stones. Put wood, control it, it begins to cook food. Let that same fire get into the bush, onto somebody's farm without control, everything goes down. Same fire. So, Korah, they've given you Levite's office. Why are you fighting? You are in the choir and they say you should back up. Your problem is that they say you should back up. They ask you to lead. Are you not even lucky that you can back up without your crooked voice? Aren't you happy we even permitted you to back up? He says, when will I lead? You will not. You won't. I'm just telling you, it's removed from your mind. You won't. It's not even coming soon. There is a truth I always tell myself. And I like you to always tell yourself the truth. Sometimes you look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself the truth. If we go by qualification, should I even be a pastor? Should I be serving you? I tell myself the truth. You know yourself. Prayer life, you know as your own be. I'm talking to you now. So why are you fighting for whatever office as if you even merit the one you are handling now? What is the qualification? So why are you fighting? Whatever God has put in your hands, be content with your calling. And I said, know your limits. Even as a pastor, I have limits. Nobody can do everything. Everybody is doing crusade. You also want to go and do crusade. They go send you there. Know your limits. Are you following me, friends? Know your limits. Not every job is for you. Korah was not happy with being a Levite. He wanted to be a priest. He wanted to offer sacrifice. Do they have two heads? Why can't I offer sacrifice? Now, look at this. There was a time Saul, began to offer sacrifice. Saul did everything called rebellion in the Bible. Paul even killed the priest of God. There was nothing rebellious Paul did not do. Saul, rather, not Paul. But see this. He offered sacrifice and that was wrong. But there was a place in the Bible that David did the same too. There was a place in the Bible that David even ate food from the temple, meant for holy priests, and nothing was wrong with him. Because actually, David was a king and a priest, and I can also add a prophet. Are you what I'm saying? Because some people have liberty to do certain things, doesn't mean you too have the liberty to do it. Know your limits. I know a pastor, he's also preaching, but he's going up and down doing crusades. Uh-huh. Who said you should? Who said you should? That's why ministry, you don't look around, you look up. It's what God tells you. Don't look around and look at the patterns of other people have. God is the one leading and directing. Know your limits. Stay where he has placed you. I see, you know why I'm saying all of this? Fire is going to drop upon you tonight. I came with so much of it. It's going to be very hot in this place in the next few minutes. But you see, it doesn't call for you being unruly and reckless and doing anything you like. So I carry fire now. It's time for evangelism. He said, I had a leading in my heart to kind of raise the dead. Okay, leave the dead and come to church. What's wrong with you? If it's burning so much in your heart and there's rehearsal that you have to raise the dead, call and take permission from your leader. I want to go and raise the dead. Can I miss rehearsal? That is called order. Say, sir, souls are perishing. The day you will die, souls will still be perishing. Yeah. The day you eat that. You know the thing about this other thing? One of the greatest blessings we have as believers, apart from the blessing of the Holy Spirit and all that, is the blessing of a shepherd. MJ, come. Pastor Chidi, come. Watch what I'm going to show you. So, if I tell Pastor Chidi and MJ to fight, who do you think will win? Why? Why? Why are you guys underrated? Okay, MJ will win. Now, I'm trying to show you the beautiful thing about being a sheep. My dad once said to us that the strongest animal is not the lion, that it is the sheep. Because it's only the sheep that has a shepherd. If they fight, they will win. But if I bring another person stronger than Pastor Chidi to come and become MJ's shepherd, MJ is now stronger than Pastor Chidi because her shepherd is strong. I get what I'm saying. The sheep is the only animal that has to take care of it. The sheep is only scared if it is outside the guidance of the shepherd. So when God sends you and keeps you under shepherd, a shepherd, that place is the place of strength and safety. So I'm just telling you a very big secret. So if they start fighting, but immediately her shepherd shows up, I should have used Pastor Shade. Pastor Shade, come this way. Come this way. No, stay here. Who will I use now? Glory to God. Mwanya, come. If I ask Mwanya and MJ to fight, the possibilities are that Mwanya will beat up MJ. I don't know. I'm saying the possibility. But even if she can beat her up, once Pastor Shady stands as the shepherd and the fight wants to come and he comes to the front immediately, suddenly MJ is stronger than Mwanya. That's why when Christians live their lives without a shepherd in their life, they become vulnerable. I know you can pray in tongues. I know you can interpret. I know you have prayed 7 hours. But they read. You see this thing? You used to read sometimes. The day to read, you will know. If you are not listening from Nigeria, what I mean, they read. I mean, it can get crazy, right? But they read. And when he read, we know that all this, your tongues and interpretation, you can be speaking it and it's bouncing back at you. Things are getting bad. It can happen. It is, that's where you understand the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and all of that. Now that the Lord that is our shepherd, now said in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you shepherds after my own heart. So the shepherds we have in pastors are physical representation of what God is actually to us as a shepherd. So he gives that to you. You become strong. That's why when you despise order, you get into trouble. Because for real, I don't like preaching this, but he that breaks the hedge, the serpent will bite. One day you understand how powerful that statement is. Everything is not just acting anyhow. There are people you can't talk to. There are people you can't correct. It's the order. And because in God's choice of men, you don't choose, God chooses for you. That's why in this church, I told you guys from next month, we'll put you in departments. That is not punishment. That is a correction God gave me last year. God told me, in ministry, people don't choose where they serve. God chooses where they serve. He asked me, you, pastor, did you choose where you are serving as a pastor? I said, no. Did you want to be a pastor? I said, no. So why are you doing it? I said, you asked me to do it. You said, the people in church are also ministers like you. They don't have the right to choose any place they want to serve. I said, so what do I do? They say, you are the shepherd. Show them. Now, check. He has given me a guideline to it. Next month, I'm going to distribute a form to everybody. In that form, we'll ask you the area of your interest. Like 2-3 areas. Then we'll put where you will serve. Wherever they put you, stay there and serve. That is where God wants you to be for now. I feel what I'm talking about. So what if I cannot sing and they put me in the choir? My wife says everybody can sing. You know, she told me once you can talk, you can sing. Glory to God. I'm encouraged. Said if you're not dumb, you can sing. So if we put you there, she will train you. No, the problem is this. God is wise. We can put you somewhere tomorrow. I'm wondering, why did God put me here? The days I served in some crazy places in church growing up, when I taught you the ministry, all of that, it is to that as I make progress in my calling, I see how all those experiences come together to play a part in what I'm doing now. Because I'm wondering, why isn't I serving technical? Go and let's learn how to set this thing. You might be sent to pastor a church tomorrow and you'll be the technical director of that church for like 3 years as the pastor. I was once the decoration manager of this church as the pastor. Come very early in the morning and decorate the place to start service. I used to come very early. Carry decoration back. Come and decorate. Now when all those experiences are coming, you wonder why they're passing you through all of this. God knows where he's taking you to. I get what I'm saying. So you cannot sing, they put you in the choir, just be there. Tomorrow you might be in a scene, you might travel to Canada, travel to wherever you relocate from this country, and the new church is starting there. You guys are just about 15 or 20. And out of all of them, you are the best singer, and they make you choir director, and you're going to live and direct, because God will use the available. And you that they used to laugh faster, you cannot sing. Ah, the world will hear your voice. God bless you, God bless you. The world will hear your voice. So when you have opportunity to serve, serve with everything in you. I get any point. You know, my wife can sing very well. But the truth of the matter is that when I met my wife, she didn't know she could sing. I was the one that told her to start singing. Imagine someone like this don't know she could sing. If I was her from the mother's womb, but now I can sing. I'm not like, bomb me, I'll start singing. She just knows she likes to sing, singing when she's washing clothes. But ever standing on the stage to sing, it was when she came and said, start singing. Now, these are places you can never stand if there was, do you know it's possible she would have, if she didn't get into the right family, grow all this while and just so that she can sing in her backyard. Do you understand? But can I also say something about this singing thing? It's not all singers that should stand in the ministry of the psalmist. Do you understand? It's not so. You're a singer, they move you from choir, it will happen. Some of you will leave this place. It's not all singers that will stand there. God knows where he will put you. So don't complain. It's not all singers that will stand there. Say amen.
Amen.
There are places God will put you. The aim is to cut off something from your life. Maybe there's an office, a team you've been looking at and be like, I can't join those people. That's exactly, you know, I remember one day when I started going for mission work newly, my second mission work, I can't forget this experience. There was this boy. When we gathered for the training, we were playing over 200 of us. And from where I was sitting, I sighted that guy. That guy looked, a bit dirty, unkempt. And I said, God forbid, let them not send me with this kind of person. I didn't know it from Adam. I said, I beg, I don't want to go. I don't even have strength for this kind of person. And they began to announce the names. I was waiting for that boy to be called. They didn't call him. Until he got to my turn, they called him. Jesus Christ. And everything I thought about that guy was true. When we got to the field, he finally stole my notes. When he was going home from the mission, he stole my notes. Yes. So what God used him to teach me patience. I learned how to calm down and imagine people. Are you serious? Because I saw the guy from my father. I said, God, let them never send me with this boy in Jesus' name. And God said, they play. That guy is your teammate, but you don't. The only luck I have is that they didn't make him my leader. If that made him my leader, the game would be over. But God knows how he prepares us. I learned how to stay around someone that, you know, that people, it's not a good thing. I'm growing. You know, there are people you just see that you don't like them for no reason. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. You have to go there. But that was me then. I didn't like that. He didn't do anything. But I just said that. And I went to the field. He gave me more reasons not to like him. Unkempt. Just kept his things anyhow. It's anyhow. You know, I'm not a very proper person, but at least I was better. You understand? And I just had to. They are just. Because when God is choosing for you, he doesn't ask your permission. Someone, when he wants to give you a leader, he will not ask you, can you respect him? He will give you the leader. And you will learn to follow. My God. Do we see after for Holy Ghost meeting tonight? Well, we do. Amen. Do you know what these people's problem was? Go to verse 12. I'll show you. I'll say like three more things. Then Moses summoned Datham and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, or they replied, we refuse to come before you. Do you know what the problem was? Verse 13. Isn't it enough that you brought us out of Egypt, a land flowing with milk and honey, to kill us here in the wilderness, and that you now treat us like your subjects? Verse 14. What's more, you haven't even brought us to another land flowing with milk and honey. You haven't given us a new homeland with fields and vineyards. Are you trying to fool these men? We will not come. So they were angry that Moses came to them and made them promises. And time was counting and they've not seen the promise. He promised them, God will take you guys the land flowing with milk and honey. Now time was counting and yet they were not there yet. So they said, guy, you can't fool us. So all this, God will do it. Let him, if he doesn't do it now, I'm going. So they got tired of waiting on God's promise. Someone needs to learn to be patient with God. Nothing that God does is ever done in a hurry. I get the point. Sir, when I joined this church, the Lord told me that he will use me in this church mightily. When am I going to start preaching? 32 years after. Calm down. Because you really don't blame these guys. They've been in the wilderness for over 10 years. That's like Moses came to them in 2010 and told them, don't worry, I'm going to take you guys to the promised land. And they followed him 2015, 2020, 2024. They were still in the wilderness. So they said, sister, don't fool us. We were children when you came to pick us from Egypt. Now we have grown, we have beards. We are not anywhere in Israel, in promised land. I beg, we are not doing it again. Patience. When you follow a man and you believe in what God, the vision God has given him, be patient with that vision. Visions take time to mature. Check any big vision in the country, outside the country, you'll be hearing dates like 40 years ago, 42 years ago, because it takes time. It takes time. So they were angry with Moses. So in my note, I said, be patient in the plan of God in ministry. And let me take you to your own personal life. God has promised you this, this, and that will happen. Please be patient with yourself. Be growing. Because, you know, God speaks in the now. It doesn't mean it must happen now. You know, God can tell you what he wants to do in your life in the next 35 years. And something just tells you to go and do it now. And I said something in church on Sunday, jokingly. But it's actually very serious. God says, I'll use you in Australia. Now, you didn't wait to know when. You now run off to Australia. What God was actually saying was, he'll use you in 30 years' time in Australia. But you didn't hear him. You will find that you go to Australia, you'll be walking around like sheep without shepherd. Till when he gets to that 30th year, your ministry will start. So what's the point of wasting your time? I got what I'm saying. Be patient. Take your training. And the man Moses was an example of patience. And you know, if you handle patience well and get trained while you are being patient, you'll be a different person. Contrast between a man who saw two people fighting and killed the other person and buried him. And the same man, 40 years after, he spoke of himself, said the man Moses is the meekest man in the whole earth. What happened between those 40 years was training. God was getting himself. Because if Moses did not develop that meekness, he would have killed the whole Israelites. Because God already knew the kind of people he was going to go and lead. So at 40, when he killed a man to bury him, God said, they're not ready for this mission. If I send you now, you'll kill all these people and bury them. Are you what I'm saying? So sometimes we are hurrying up because we are not set for what God is doing. So calm down. So 40 years, how did God train him? God is wise. God sent him to Jethro. And not even a very spiritual man, a beggar. And he gave Moses to take care of his sheep. If you can handle sheep, you will learn to handle human beings. So for 40 years, he was tending sheep. In those 40 years, sheep will teach you patience. He has developed all the patience and meekness that he needed. 40 years after, the Israelites will talk. He will start crying. The man that could kill, do you know what it means? I'm talking to you about a very strong man. He killed a man with his hand, dug the earth, put the man in, cover the grave. That's a strong man. And now, imagine that man with his strength. They now added the power of God that he had to eat. With his physical and spiritual strength, he will roast all Israelites. One murmuring, you die. Mama wants die. I think I'm just joking with you guys. If I say let's move there, not move there, are you mad? Get the point. But the man became so meek because he was patient with God. God passed him through that process. He came out as he himself said, this man Moses is the meekest man on earth. I don't think he was joking. Because if you ever led 30 people, you know what it means to lead about 3 million people who are all rebellious. It takes a greater level of meekness to lead them. And you're not using microphone to control them. Joshua, attention, attention. Those Israelites don't know they hear word. It took meekness. But God prepared it for 40 years. So why are you rushing to? And so what happened to these guys? God has been saying we are going to a land flowing with milk and honey. And we are not there yet. I'm not doing. When I was leaving my former church to join you in this ministry, you are telling us that we will take over the world. It's been 3 years. We've not taken over any world.
Are you what I'm talking about? So I'm not even doing it again. So they told Moses, we are not coming. I know it's very interesting. He said, are you trying to fool these men? Enough of this deception. We've seen it. We are going nowhere. All of us are dying inside this wilderness. Now, see the next lesson you learn from them. Because I just want to round this up. God wait to verse 25. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. So Moses got up and rushed over to the tents of Datam, Abiram, and followed by the elders of Israel. Quick, he told the people, get away from the tents of these wicked men. And don't touch anything that belongs to them. If you do, you will be destroyed for their sins. So Moses went and separated the rest of Israel from these guys. When people begin to walk in rebellion, it is all wisdom to stay away from them. Now, I'm not saying when people said are touching. Everybody said touches once in a while. But where someone has gone full blown Korah, when you see a full blown Korah, withdraw. Get away from their tents. Because what is coming for them, you know the end of this matter now. The earth opened and swallowed all of them. So if any of them was standing with those guys, are you what I'm talking about? You see what Paul told them in 2 Thessalonians? He said, anybody that is walking against the order that was set, he said, separate yourself from them. Now, earth will not swallow anybody. But the implication is this. Whatever that becomes of them will become of you. As they are losing passion, you are losing passion. As they are getting unserious, you are getting unserious. Are you what I'm talking about? As they are getting angry, you are getting angry. And you know what I've found out in this generation? I've seen somebody get angry and begin to walk in rebellion. Okay, I don't want to use an example. And the other person joins him in the rebellion. 2 months after, the first person that got angry comes back to his senses and says, I'm sorry. The other person that joined him never had chance to get back. So you just joined. And see the people destroyed 250 priests. 250. The leaders of the Levites. It opened and all of them. That's why I'm going to tell you. You see, the apostolic structure is orderly. When they are trying to get to do things, just follow it. Don't get into all this crazy. Our generation is telling us nobody can tell you what to do. Every solid church has an order for everything. You want to do naming ceremony, we have an order here. You want to do wedding, we have an order here. You want to do relationship, if you don't want to follow it, then it's okay, don't come. You want to enter a relationship, you just can't jump into it. You did not do our 3 months prayer and all of that. He said, must I do 3 months prayer to relationship? That is how we do here. That's how we do here. No, but you don't want it. Say, all I know, if I just fall in love, I go enter. It's fine. You know the thing about me, I'm a very merciful person. If you push me too much, I'll wed you. It's not a problem. Then we'll start watching you. Now, it's not a question of whether your marriage will succeed or whether it will fail. That's not the problem. Your marriage will succeed. But the point is, at every point in your life, God gives an opportunity to go through certain processes. Don't miss it. The thing is, if you go through that prayers, if you would have still married that person, you will still marry the person. So what's the point? There's an order for everything. And don't get angry when we try to make you follow the process. Follow the process. I'm not a very careless person. I'm not someone that believes that anything goes. Anything doesn't go for me. For instance, when I wanted to get married, and I've never told this story like this very openly. Look, I think I have. When I prayed, when my dad stretched me to pray and pray and pray, of course I prayed. After praying, I tried reaching him. He wasn't reachable, so I did 2 extra months. When I reached him, he said, oh, you can't talk to her. And under God, I tell you guys sincerely, under God, when he said, go and talk to your wife, I spoke to her. Very romantic outing. Do you understand me? I lie not. Oh my God. So, in the euphoria of the romantic outing, I said, you know, I know you're going to take time. This is me, Pastor Henry, talking. I know you're going to take your time to pray. And I allow you to take your time and pray, even if it is 1 month you want to take. Now, this is me preaching 3 months. I said, just take 1 month and pray. And you know, she's my
daughter in the Lord at the time. He said, okay, sir, I will take the time and pray. So, of course, I gave her my spiritual mom's number. My spiritual mom said, how long are you praying? She said, 1 month. She said, it's not possible. They are going to do 3 months. Hallelujah. You know the thing about guys, when you are in love, you are in a hurry. Doesn't happen to you. What are we praying? So to an answer you already know, tell me this thing. She said 3 months. And I can tell you under God, I felt somehow in my heart. What kind of this thing is this one? But you know, I know that there is a process. Now, these are my spiritual parents. I never wanted and I do not want another person to ever join me apart from my pastor. That's why when he couldn't come because he was out of the country, he had to do it virtually. Because I know what I respect. So I'm going to respect that order. Then I must follow whatever they want. So we went through the 3 months. The process started. You know, there is order. If you're not going to follow a man's order and structure and systems, then don't follow the man. Because you're not a follower of any ministry because you just hear their message and shout, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. No. He didn't follow the order. Apostolic structure. One last thing about Korah. I learned from the story of Korah. God always defends and backs the anointed. You see, every calling has God's defense. So God went the extra mile to prove to them that he sent Moses and Aaron. After the earth opened and swallowed them, in chapter 17, God told Aaron and all the priests to bring out their staff. You know that story, right? And Aaron's rod budded. Do you know why God did that? It was chapter 17. God did it to show them, to go the extra mile, to show them, this is my choice. Every genuine calling has God's backing. He will defend the calling. And I'm going to say to you, no matter the challenges you are passing through, if your calling of God and your following of God is genuine, God will defend that calling. With many signs. That's why you also learn not to rise against anointed men. God will defend them. Of course, defend them and not be to kill you. You know something I observed in my ministry? Every time there are aspersions cast towards my ministry and all of that, I just observe a pattern. Miracles will begin to happen. You know what I'm saying? Every time, untold miracles begin to happen. You know what is happening? God is trying to say to you, I chose that man. God in Acts 14. Immediately they began to spread false rumors about Paul and the rest. Bible said the Lord began to move with much more power. Because God will always defend and back the calling. Pastors, ministers, leaders, you are leading your people and they don't want to follow you. Listen, God backs the called. If God put you there, he will back you. That's why you don't fight people. Turn it over to God. He will back you. He will show up. And somehow show them I put that guy there. In many ways. They might not even tell you. It might be when they go home and apply that instruction you gave and it works. They'll be like, ah. They may not come back to tell you. But somehow God will go back to tell them, I chose this man. He'll find a way to tell you. That's why ministers don't ever get angry with anybody. They don't want to follow you. If God puts you here, God has a backing. He will back you. He will back you. Moses never tried to prove any point. Oya, bring your incense. Let's know who the Lord has chosen. Oya, bring your rod. It's not me that will fight you. The caller will do the job. He backs every calling. And never be where God is not. Never stand against God though. Because he will back his calling. He will back the call. He will. He will. He will. And I've seen this happen in my ministry again and again. Every genuine calling has God's backing. So, you're a pastor here, minister, there. If people are not listening to you, somebody is even attacking and opposing your government. This is not the time to begin to claim, do you know who I am? Pastor, put me here. Mm-mm. Turn it over to God. Somehow, it will show that God put you there. Somehow, it will show up to defend you. Start, and this is one of the ways not to live your life in offense. So that's it. They're not listening to me. Turn it over to God. If he called you, let him defend you. And you'll defend in many ways. You might just find that period there will be so much miracles. So much miracles. So much miracles. Amen. And I told my wife this when I married her newly. Because, of course, she doesn't even like authority. So she told me, I can just be your wife. I don't have to be anything in church. I said, no. God has said you should serve here and you will serve. And I told her, I said, don't bother whether people follow you or not. If God said you should serve and I actually heard from God, don't do it. God will prove that He put you there. Don't get that. Every genuine calling has God's back. He will prove it. That's why if your calling is genuine, don't fight. To tell us, I'm genuine. It's people who are not genuine that try to claim they're genuine. I get the point. I have nothing to prove to you. I just do my thing. Some of the most amazing miracles you've seen in this church happened at the times when there were serious aspersions. Yes. And I just come to the meeting just like that, and God will show up amazingly. That is God trying to tell people. You know, that was when I was in JCB leader. And sometimes people began to say crazy things about Pastor Henry. I didn't even hear them. But stories were flying. One of those days, I just walked in, they're having a meeting. I came back. A lady was booked for surgery the next day, heart surgery. And I was doing a meeting, it began to rain. And I said, if you believe in the power of God, don't go in. Stay with me under this rain. Like I stayed there. Went for the surgery the next day, they saw no trace. When people saw that, they could not explain how a man they said is not of God and God did not choose could work that kind of miracle. So they turned the story to say that they know the native doctor went to collect power from to do the miracle. Because they couldn't doubt. Just like when Peter and John raised that crippled man. You couldn't doubt that this guy was crippled and now he's walking. So you just have to find something else to say. Do you know that when that story, that place my wife read, do you know that when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, that the leaders gathered at a time and said and decided to kill Lazarus. Did you see it in the Bible? So let us kill him. Because this man has evidence. A man is that was dead is alive. So let's kill him. There are evidences that God needs to back your calling that people cannot deny. Well, that's taking me to the next thing already. The next thing about apostolic Christianity, about apostolic faith, is the supernatural. And I won't say much because my wife has dealt with it seriously. You see, part of the order that we receive from the apostles is the supernatural. They were crazy with it. You can't see their ministry and not see the supernatural. And that's what I'm going to say to you. One of the things we must contend for is to contend for the move of the Spirit. Every time you see them, the Bible says, great signs and wonders follow them. God backs callings with signs. He backs callings with signs. A man of God was doing a meeting last year. He finished planning their 4 days meeting. They invited everybody in the world to attend the meeting. And on the day, just God forbid. Just like wanted to start the fire. It was their building, their tents and all of that. That Friday, they came in the morning to set up the place. They had finished setting up, turned to go. Fire came from nowhere and burnt the church down. How many of you saw this story online? Burnt the church. They didn't rescue nothing. Not seat, not AC, not instruments. Everything went down. He said as they were standing, they said people were passing. And they were saying things like, why didn't Jesus stop the fire? Foolish people. Well, that's by the way. When people begin to mock your calling like that, I don't have to begin to complain or even explain to them. The God of the calling will back his call. Good thing is the meeting held. That particular event attracted men of God from all over the world. I followed the meeting to an extent. People were giving $10 million to get a new building. God showed up massively in provision. That was just a little word of God telling those people, I'm backing this man. He might have been burnt by fire, but I'm not letting him go. That calling is genuine. Whatever that happens, God has a supernatural way of telling people that I have my backing on you. That's why you cannot do ministry without power. Power is one of the major ways that God voices his backing of a ministry. You may not believe Jesus because he said he's the Messiah. But when you see Lazarus rise from the dead, you will know that something is wrong if you don't believe him. The furnishing of that house will be the glory of God. Are you following what I'm talking about? And so the apostolic order has power.
signs and wonders done by the apostles all over the place. I'm going to pray with you very soon, but I'm going to say everything my wife said. Don't do ministry without power. You know, when she was talking, the Lord just dropped something mightily in my heart. He said, you know, this is the easiest way to start a church. They raised a crippled man. 5,000 people appeared. You see, in your city, there are more than 5,000 people there. There is not just nothing strong enough to bring them yet. And I began to hear from the Lord as she was talking, I began to hear public miracles. These are not the days for miracles just inside the church. I'm talking about miracles on the streets. Public display of miracles. Public miracles. Because the miracles that will bring about much men to the gospel may not necessarily happen inside the church. It will happen on the street. It will happen in Holy Ghost. It will have to happen. One beggar that we all know. There is anointing that makes madness vanish. And God has it in this meeting. The apostolic order we contend for, one of them is the supernatural. The supernatural. The workings of the Spirit. I told God when He called me, I said, if you are going to send me without power, then I'm not going to go. Now, my life is very simple. God knows how we do this thing. I'm not going to go. Because it's not even possible to reach these people without power. Why did the Israelites, as rebellious as they were, even believe Moses at all that God sent him? Do you know why? He threw down his rod, it turned to snake. He said, now wow. He commanded River Nile, it turned to blood. The people you are sent to will not listen to you until they see a sign. This crooked generation, they need signs. Oh, but glory to God, we have signs. It shall come to pass on the last day that I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And I will show signs in heaven. Blood, vapor, and pillars of smoke. We are in the days of signs. If you are going to do ministry massively in a generation, then tonight I'm going to ask you, give you 5 minutes. We're going to pray in this place. You can't do ministry without signs. You must contend for the supernatural. You must contend for the supernatend. You must contend for the supernatural. I don't know why this supernatural you are talking about has not jumped into your head yet. But it has to jump in. That is more you can actually do with the power of God. I've done all the teaching that we can do in this meeting. Tonight is for God to bring you to that experience by His power. By His power. You must contend. The reason God took us through all these teachings is because there is something He wants to drop upon our lives. He wants to put that in. Mekaro balata. Woo! Eladada shambara makurondo sataya. I see 14 people organizing street revivals. And you know, as I'm saying it, the power of God is going to hit them one by one. I see 14 people that the Lord is putting an unction upon their life to organize street meetings. The power of God is going to begin to pick them, 14 of them. Street meetings. Aya, aya, aya. 14 of them. Yo, dodo, boshina, ladaya. It must be very flammable tonight. By the Holy Ghost, pick out the 14 of them. One by one, 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Now power of God. Ekusha barati kazumbre tela. Zizazaza, bebebebe, shokoko barata. We are still going to pray tonight, but just as the Lord said, there are 14 of them. There's auction for street revivals. Street revivals with the supernatural. With the supernatural. The furnishing of that house will be the glory. Thou power of God. These 14 of them, there are 11 more. Pick them up by your power. Move through this place. Lift your voice. Father, I'm ready for more. Pray that prayer. Your hands to heaven, your voice lifted up. Pray with that intensity. Elohim Adonai,
ah,
Elohim Adonai, just pray, don't sing, pray. Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Just pray now. Pray all over this place. Public miracles all over this place. Public demonstrations. The days of miracles, signs and wonders have always been here, but I'm here for you now. This is a refueling session. A refueling session. You have 2 more minutes. If there is passion in your heart, at the end of the 2 minutes, fire will catch that hunger. Let me say this to you categorically. You may not like it, but what is lacking in your ministry now is more supernatural displays. You know, she kept saying it. It makes ministry easy. It makes it easy. One cripple that walked will walk more than 1,000 handbills. One blind eye that opens will walk more than 5 billboards. The furnishing of that house will be the glory. The days are here. The days are here. One prophetic word given Now, hear what the Lord said. There is restoration of spiritual vision, spiritual sight, eyes that see and ears that hear. Holy Spirit, as your word have come, 41 persons here, spiritual sight and sound restored. Holy Ghost, move through this meeting. Meshaka gaberebebelebebe, subrede de deleba, eratuche de le prete le frete koba, adaya balabarabalababa, shulebebele de belebebe, elebebebelebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebebeb
Holy Ghost. Jaga, Rabba, Diga, Zuda. Holy Ghost, sweep through this place. Sweep through this place. The power of God. The power of God. Your hand will burn. Your stomach will burn. Your leg will burn. From your feet will run. Holy Ghost. Shebe, Rabba, Suleda. If that's the expectation for this meeting, it's here now. Spiritual sight, spiritual sound. Spiritual sight, spiritual sound. Spiritual sight, spiritual sound. Spiritual sight, spiritual sound. Sights and sounds of the spirit. Are you ready? Receive it wherever you are standing. Eyes open, ears open, eyes open, ears open, eyes open, ears open. Shake Rebe Soladaya. I'm hearing it. The rise of the prophets. 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 Shala da 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 da. Ayayayaba shambre de la koya. Agila bele, agila bele. There is a very prophetic insight. Prophetic insight. There is someone that's been hearing that word in his spirit for some time. Prophetic insight. Prophetic insight. I will do what I heard. All the men, lift up your hands. All men. As an anointing for men. Akayaba. Ombre de de yabalada bashunele de baluda la barada la ba. Holy Ghost. Ekemanda. I'm going to count seven. And God will put something upon the men in this place. I see men rising as leaders. It's a leadership auction. It's a leadership anointing. It's an invitation. Seven counts. Number one. Number two. Holy Ghost. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. Number seven. The power of God in the name of Jesus. Move. Every man here, get set. It's coming upon you one by one. Ay, 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 ay. You are eminently glorious. Immaculate, beautiful.
I can move on and on. On and on.
Ay, 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 ay,
ay. For my words are not enough.
Something is going to intoxicate some men here.
My polar is to fail.
The Kayadas, Ulebeda Karabata.
What heavy.
You are eminently glorious.
You are eminently glorious.
Aya.
Immaculate, beautiful.
I can
move on and on.
Aya.
For my words are not enough.
Aya.
My words are not enough. My vocabulary is to fail me.
Listen.
What can lead me to cry?
Aya. Listen. What is coming upon the man? The Lord said is something intoxicating. I heard the spirit of Jehu. Typology of the anointing that came upon Jehu. It will be intoxicating. It will drive you crazy to the streets. Holy Ghost, this man put it upon them. A shasha berade. Holy Ghost, put it upon them. Put it upon them. Young man, do you want the fire? 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 Yes. Do you want the fire? The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Young man, do you want the fire? Aya, Ade Shate Karaba. Ade Shamalada Bayada. Young man, do you want the fire? 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 Eminently glorious. Do you want the fire?
I thank God.
Young man, do you want the fire?
My vocabulary to fail.
Do you want the fire, young man? Young man, do you want the fire?
For the
meaning young man, do you want the fire?
My vocabulary to fail me. Father, lead me to Christ.
Listen. Earlier this morning, there was a memory of what I posted on Facebook some years ago. When I saw that, the Lord said, I'm going to do that tonight. The emergence of reverence, ravenous birds. In Deuteronomy, the Lord actually listed these birds as forbidden birds. But when it was time for Elijah to be fed, it was those forbidden birds that brought food for Elijah. There are men that the world have written off, that the Lord will lay his hand on tonight. Men that people have said, ladies that people have said they cannot stand and do whatever with God. God will lay his hands upon them tonight. And they will deliver an answer to a generation. They say you cannot. They look at you and you don't look like who we do ministry. But fire is going to cast a cuckoo barata. It's going to rest on you tonight. And this shune and this shune akrumete kekeboka. Aziza, Runevea, Bentra Deya. That fire is going to put something upon you. Eya, Agalaba Shata. Eminently glorious.
In Baku, the beautiful. I can go on and on. On and on. But my words are not enough. My vocabulary so fail me. For permit me to cry. Iba, oh, Iba.
And if you're in that category of men, who really want to do ministry but you don't feel qualified for it, but you want to do it, you don't feel you are qualified but you want to do it, there is such a thing as the anointing of God. That's the qualification that men need. Men and women that want to stand in the office of ministry, they want to serve the Lord, but by their, it looks like they've been written off, they don't feel qualified. Holy Spirit, put that furnishing upon them. At the count of five, number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. The Lord qualifies men by his fire. Shagayada. Shabalada. Aya. You are eminently glorious.
Immaculately beautiful. I can go on and on, on and on. But my words are not enough. My vocabulary to fail me. Prepare me to cry. Iba, oh, Iba.
Visions of God. If you have a vision for ministry, there's something God has put in your heart to do in the ministry. Either it's came in this meeting or it's been there in your heart. Please lift up your hands. I want to place some fire upon that vision. Now, if I'm praying for you, it means you are ready to do whatever God says next. It means you're going to do whatever. I don't know what God is going to say next. But it means you're ready to do whatever He says next. Holy Spirit, the one that empowers men, the one that qualifies men, the one that strengthens people, lay your hands mightily upon these visions. Whatever they need for this next assignment, at the count of seven, let them rest one by one. Whatever they need. Whatever they need. Some of them need some more prophetic insight. Some more teaching grace. Some more wisdom. More leadership abilities. Some of them need some more things that you want to for that they need to do whatever you want them to do. Dear Holy Spirit, put it upon them now. 15 of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Holy Spirit, look at that. It's the Kegabaya. If I just prayed for you like that, put those two hands upon your head and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost everything in you. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost with everything in you. What God has put in your heart is very valid. That's why I started the fire holes. What God has put in your heart is very, very valid. Akayadash, Boroda. In fact, everybody join them. Put your tears upon your head. I'm going to pray in tongues. Your tears upon your head. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray 5 more minutes. And from my spirit to my soul, until my voice re-echoes, you are worthy of my worship.
Holy of my praise.
Anointings in the area of music. I saw it's very strong here. In the area of music. In the area of music. I saw it's very strong. Don't worry, just wherever you are, it's going to touch you. In the area of music. Father, you are worthy of my worship.
Worthy of my.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
You are worthy of my worship, worthy of my praise.
Music. Anointing for the psalmist. For the psalmist. Holy Ghost, Kayaya, Emerada, Shuleda, Kenzo, Banda, Karanda, Elebebelebe, Rodo, Shataya. Anoint this psalmist. Everyone that is trusting you for that touch in the area of music. Right now, Holy Spirit, at the count of 10. Put it on them. Number one, it will be music mixed with a prophetic call, a prophetic touch. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. Number seven. Number eight. Number nine. Number ten. Holy Ghost, through this place. Now listen. I think this may be the last impartation before I do other things and we'll close tonight. I've been seeing something in my spirit since we started the series Keruso. And that is strong in my spirit is this. I see the motivation of the spirit in the area of getting men filled with the Holy Ghost on the street more radically. That is why I'm going to release here. For people that will bring others into the flow. Some of you, the Lord has put that in your heart. You saw yourself ministering the Holy Ghost. Some of you will go to classrooms to preach. And the preaching will touch a Holy Ghost meeting. Listen, if you don't understand that it's actually a grace, let me show you that it's a grace. Philip worked miracles in Acts 8. Demons left people. But you couldn't get any of them to pray in the Holy Ghost. Until Peter and John came. It's actually an enough. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You know this Holy Spirit, you don't force it. It's open to all, but if you don't have it, you don't have it. So hear this. That anointing is going to rest here. Many of you will bring people into their flows. That's grace to minister the Holy Spirit more swiftly. More swiftly. More swiftly. More swiftly. There are 20 men that will stand in that place from tonight. So I don't know who they are. Dear Spirit of Jesus. Put that grace on them. To administer the Son of the Spirit with much more ease. Holy Spirit. Pick these 20 guys. 20 ladies. Jabaraka Tula. Ushers, count them for me because it's going to start happening now. Ushers, count them for me. It's going to start happening now. That's number one. That's number two. It's going to start happening now. There are 20 of them like that. Holy Spirit. Even at the back. Some of you are catching it at the back. There are actually three of them like that at the back. Holy Ghost, that's number three. Peshakarada laba sole de leberedaya. Listen,
from that pillar where there's a television down, lift up your hands. At the count of seven, let that whole place get intoxicated with the power of God. Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, that power of God. And I'm back. Jale de reba sulataya barada. There are more of you that the Holy Ghost is resting mightily upon you. Some of you begin to scream. Some of you begin to run. Some of you begin to laugh. Some of you begin to jump. It's coming so much. That power of God, move through this place. Sherabai korate salate yaba shandalaba. If you are sick in this place, I'm simply saying the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands if you are sick of any kind of sickness and you want to be prayed for. Just raise your hands very well. Now, as they raise very well, as they're raising their hands, believers around them hold their hands. Believers around them, if around them are raising their hands, hold your hands. Make sure, just please look around. Believers around them, hold your hands. If you are sick, raise your hands very well. Some people will hold your hands. Now hold your hands and begin to minister the power of God to them. Ask them what the sickness is. Even if both of you are sick, one person should ask the other person. Are you ministering to us? Healing is in this place. Do that very quickly. Do that very quickly. Ask that person what is the problem. You don't have to lay hands on the person's head. It's not necessary. Just hold the person and command that sickness to go. Now. Command that sickness to go now. Command that sickness to go now. Command it to go and bring the testimony to me. Command that sickness to go. And test the healing and bring the testimony to me. Healings are happening here. What an atmosphere. Command that sickness to go and test the healing. Test the healing, healings are happening here. Don't just pray for anybody, heal the person, command sickness to go. If the person couldn't move, let the person move. If he couldn't raise his hands, let him raise it up. Someone has a pain around the neck region, command that pain to go if you are with the person. Either pray for somebody, or somebody is praying for you, or you are praying in the Holy Ghost. Don't look around. Have you done that? How many of you have now? If they've ministered to you and you cannot find the sickness again, you've checked yourself. Please raise your hands. I want to see your hands. Like, leave it up in the air. That's a lot of hands. Check yourself. If you've checked yourself, you can't find the sickness, be waving that hand. Look at the hands.
Keep waving it. I need more hands. Check yourself. You are sure you cannot find it. You are sure it has disappeared. Wave it. Wave it. This is beautiful. Wave it very well. You can't find it. You can't find it again. You've tested yourself. You can't find it again. Hallelujah. Can we give Jesus praise all over this place? And this is not because Pastor prayed. It's a ministry of all saints. I think this place is ripe for a Holy Ghost, for a believer's meeting. Yes, it's ripe for a believer's meeting. Get a partner. Get a partner. God is going to speak through you to that person now. Get one partner. God will speak through you to that person. This is part of Start the Fire. I'm coaching you because you see, from here we are entering the streets. So get a partner. Do you have a partner now? This place is right for believers meeting. Woo! Make sure you have a partner. Aha. Woo! Ah. You have a partner now. Now begin to share with that partner. Both of you decide who will go first. Don't pray again. Both of you decide who will go first. Say you go first or I go first. Then begin to share with that person words that God will put in your heart. Revelations. Utterance. It has set. Words will begin to flow now. My wife was shouting, "You have a part in this. It is time now. Show they have a part in it. Share with that person what God is putting in your heart." Ah! You are eminent, the glorious, immaculate, the beautiful. I can go on and on, on and on. But my words are not enough. My vocabulary is who fail me. Oh, there is somebody. The word you are getting for that person is that he's actually sick. He didn't raise up his hand when they said if you are sick, but you are getting that he's actually sick. Tell the person and heal the person. You're talking to somebody or somebody is talking to you. If both of you finish talking to each other and there is still time, the other person should start again. Holy Ghost among the saints. Your ears are open. Your eyes are open. Say what you see. Say what you hear. Say what you see. Say what you hear. They are.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.